Hey, Willem from Oudtshoorn. How's it? Lekker to have you guys. Yeah, you know, when Nardis was praying, you know, I don't know. I wish my heart was more sold out to him. I think I still hold back lots. I think we all do. And really want to walk where the Lord wants us to walk. We want to go where he wants us to go. And a lot of this that we've been hearing is just that thing of trust, having faith, giving you my whole heart that Jamie's just shared prophetically. Have you noticed our hearts, even our physical hearts, have got chambers? I think we've got about four. I'm not a doctor. And it's like we have chambers too. It's like areas we want to give to the Lord, but then there's areas we hold back. And the thing is, it takes the whole heart to bring life. It doesn't take part of it. It doesn't take this chamber or that chamber. It's the whole heart. And so when we say, God, take my whole heart, it means everything. And there has to be an element of trust in that. And I really want to just carry on and just encouraging you guys. I felt the Lord just say, you're not finished building into my church regarding faith. And I know we're already 2 months into February. Well, we're in February, 2 months into the year, two months into the year. We're going on to March now, and I just feel like it's like the newness isn't really in the year; it's more in the what God is doing, and so I was just thinking of that scripture. What was it? Jeremiah 12:5, where it says, "If you battle to keep up with the footmen." How are you going to keep up with the horses? And I want you to run. And he was talking to Jeremiah. I want you to run with the horses. That's an impossible task. Who's ever run with horses? It's not possible, really. And I think it's an element of faith that God is calling us to as a church is don't expect last year to be the thing that carries on here, what God wants to do here and now in us and through us. Because he's calling us to a lot more. And I want to say the weight of what he's calling us to, if you can't cope now, it's like you're not operating in faith. And this can only happen in faith for all of us. You know, this small thing of even just moving comms is actually a small thing. It's not a big thing. This was not what the early church battled with, okay? Changing comms. Really. That wasn't the issue for them. It was persecution. I'm just bringing it out there. Which is what wants me, which leads me to read the scripture I want to read to stir us with faith. And we all know Hebrews is the scripture you go to when you want to know about faith, am I right? And so I want to start by reading Hebrews 12 from verse 1 to 2. And I'll read it from here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Such a beautiful picture. And I know there's often a phrase that we have, you know, a new year, a new you. Have you heard that? New year, new you. But I know for me, I mean, the reality is it isn't always new. It's like you say to yourself, well, this coming year, I'm going to do some self-improvements. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to accomplish what I couldn't do last year, and I'm going to be a better me, you know. And here's the problem. We take our old selves into the new year. We don't. And that's what I was just realizing now, and I think this is partly the reason is the year doesn't make us new. Jesus does. He makes all things new. Our years, as we go into it, and the question is, are you going to be new in Christ when you enter that new year? Or are you going to be the old self that God is stirring you to be? And so this writer is just writing about these things of stirring our faith. And the problem is with the new year, the reason we battle is because we take the same struggles that we had last year. We take the same patterns that we have last year. But as I've been reading Hebrews, those patterns, those struggles or what actually bring the weights. And so I want to talk about that because he's talking about laying aside every weight and sin. Okay, so now I just want to give you a bit of background just to help us understand this book that I've been reading, that we've been reading in Hebrews. It's just, the author here is not encouraging just Gentiles. He's encouraging Jewish Christians, actually. He's encouraging them. And these are not just, these are people that are new to the gospel, and they're people that are new to the faith, but they're not new in the sense that of the Old Testament. They understood those things. And so what is, we don't actually know who wrote Hebrews. Some say Paul, some say Barnabas, some say Luke, I don't know. But whoever it was, he's trying to encourage them not to give up. He's trying to say, don't be discouraged. Don't be tempted to just stop now. Carry on. And as I was reading this book, it's just like amazing. Because I almost feel like, think of it like this. These guys have been practicing things. I'm talking about the Jews now. Have been practicing those rituals, those observances for years upon years upon years. Unlike us in the Western culture, you know, our faith, our Christian faith is more of a religion than it is our culture, right? With the East, it's a little bit different. You'll find that their religions, their beliefs are entwined in their culture. It's in who they are. It's in their values. It's in their relationships. It's in everything. And so for them, it's a whole lot more to understand what the writer's encouraging them in faith. It's like we were talking about that scripture that Barbara had of Lot's wife turning back. Imagine how much, if you were, just put yourself in these guys' shoes. If you were a new believer, but you're a Jew, and you've been practicing those things, it would be quite often to do that, to look back, as Nidus demonstrated lovely in his announcements. It's like you want it, it's just habit. It's like we just want to look back because that's how we did it. And so he's encouraging us, it's not about that, it's about this. you know, and yes, that past, you will understand what that meant. But yeah, the thing is with these guys, when they, he's encouraging them because he knows that unlike you and I, it's not just joining a religion, it's actually leaving the old culture that you were part of. And so you're leaving, you know, when you became a believer in Christ, there must have been some sense in which there was a detachment of your Jewish community that you were part of your friends, of your family. There must have been some serious introspection that you must have had as a Jewish believer. Like, I've got to leave all that, my friends, my close friends. I understand where they're coming from because I was there. And it's like, but now the gospel's come and it's brought a revelation to me and I understand that this is the new way of life. And I've got to embrace this and I can't embrace that anymore. And, but their faith must have been very much like ours. In fact, to me, more. you know, to do that. But here, the writer in Hebrews, I love chapter 11, even as we've read chapter 12, the first part. But chapter 11, he goes back to the guys and he says, he mentions the great hall of fame. People like Abraham and Sarah and Moses, Rahab, Gideon, David, Samuel. And he says, look at those guys. Those were also a people of faith. And he's saying, look, even though there's traditions that you caught up, even though those people in the Old Testament were also that of faith, those that really believed God, that trusted with God, they're no different to you. And he's saying, and he says this, verse 13, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the faith, the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Notice that. These guys who ran in faith, they never saw Jesus. They never experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the finished work of the cross just brought before them. They didn't have the new covenant that you and I have. And those promises, it's almost like they had the promises but not the fulfillment. They had the law but not the mediator. They had the shadow but not the substance. The substance being Jesus, and he's come. And he comes for them and he says, you got far more than they had. And he's telling them to hold on. And this is the thing, and I want us to grasp this because he's telling them they didn't have what you had. Now, he's not coming in a condescending way. to us who are believers. He's not coming to even the people then that he's preaching to. What do I mean by this? It's like if you think of your parents, I remember when I was growing up and going to school, and I used to complain because my folks never ever drove me to school. I always had to walk. And my mom hated driving. She had this fear, and her phobia became my problem. So she never did that. But I used to have to walk, like, for me, 4 kilometers is quite for me. But they always used to say, but when I was your age, you know, I used to go 5 miles, you know, and I didn't have shoes like you had, and it was uphill both there and back. Or, if it, you know, it was hotter then, or depending what season you're complaining, or it was colder then, I don't know. But in a sense, that there can be a sense of, come on, I had it harder. This is not what the writer in Hebrews is trying to say to us. He's not trying to say they had it harder. He's saying they had a lot less, in a sense, than what you had. And he's saying if they had that and did what they did, how much more can you do than what they couldn't? So he's encouraging us in the faith and just saying, stirring us up. Do you see that? Do you see that beautiful picture that he's helping them? Anyway. And so it's not a condescending way. And this is the thing. This great hall of fame, these guys that are telling us to go, because they are witnesses. Notice he calls them witnesses. He doesn't call them spectators. Because, I mean, who's been a spectator? Who's watched rugby? Now, that's not go, go, go all the time. It's, come on, man. Why did you do that? Why did you mess up? You know, it's like, it's your team. That's a spectator. These are witnesses. What makes them different to a spectator? Well, these guys have done it. So think of it like this. It's the baton of faith that was passed down to these guys. That's why they're named. And it was passed down from one to the other. And it's passed down. And it came to the disciples and it was passed down. And if it wasn't for everyone doing their part, you and I wouldn't have the gospel. Think of it. Have you ever run a relay race? When you set your eyes for the track that you've got, and it's like that baton that gets passed, you know, you're always told not to look back. Just trust the person that is giving you the baton, but you keep your eyes focused there, and you run, and as you get it, you run. And that's what the writer's telling us. This is it. The baton of faith has been passed down to you. And so these guys aren't looking at you as spectators saying, that's the baton that came from them initially. And they say, go for it. You can do it. You got more than we had. Go for it. Don't stop. Don't hold back. And can you sense the sense of urgency that the writer in Hebrews, whoever it was, I feel he had the urgency of the Lord. He's saying, don't be passive, church. Don't hold back. Don't be self-absorbed. Don't be earthly minded. There's so much more that you can have in Christ. You need to pick up your faith and run. And I don't want you to just run with the, I want you to run with the horses. And I want us to look at this because as we look at the writer of Hebrews, he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. And I want to say firstly to those who have never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, I want to talk to just you. For the rest of us, I just want you to have a bit of patience because I do believe the Lord wants to bring the gospel even here today. But the writer says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. And you know, the problem with sin is it leads to death, the Bible says. And so we have to lay sin aside. Every person that might be sitting here has come to the place where they have given their life to Jesus. They had to come to the place to acknowledge that your sin leads to death. I mean, you know, the consequences of sin is death. It's always going to be there. And the thing is, God wants to set you free from sin. Because the Bible says in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And God wants to give you the gift of Christ. It's nothing you can do. It's not works. It's by He Himself coming to you and showing you the new way. When I met Jesus, it wasn't like things I must do or don't do. It's I got to know Him. And as I know Him, as I get to know Him, He showed me this new way of life. He showed me a way in which I've never lived before. My marriage changed, my way of parenting changed, all those things changed because of the person of Jesus. He said, I came that you may have life, but have it in abundance. There's so much more He wants to do in us. We can't just settle for, I must just survive. No, when you give your life to Jesus, you say to him, God, I give you my whole heart, all the chambers. Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. Not just my Savior, my Lord. And as he's made Lord in your life, he changes everything from the inside out. And you begin to live this new life. And so if you've never done that, I'm gonna create a space for you to respond to that, to respond to Jesus as your personal Savior, but to have a relationship with him. But I'm not going to focus purely on this evening. I want to focus on something a bit more deeper than just our sins. And we all know that sins, even the world knows that sin leads to devastation. It leads to death. But I want to talk about weights. Weights are something more, it's something we don't always see in ourselves. This is the problem. And I think because we don't see weights, we're kind of accommodating. We're more accommodating to weights because it's not things you see in the Bible that says you must or mustn't do. It's those gray areas in our lives, and they may not be sin. Hear what I'm going to say. I want to reiterate this. It's not sin necessarily, although it can be. It's not. It's weights. And I want us to open up a bit in there because I think sometimes we think that salvation is just me giving my life to Jesus, receiving him as Lord and Savior, but almost like that's the finish line. No, that's the starting point. That's the starting blocks. Okay? It's from that place. I mean, think of it like this. If we think of the finish line of our salvation, if we talk about the Olympics, it wasn't just the fact that you finished the race that was important. Am I right? It was the time you did to finish that race. I mean, everybody can cross that line. I can run the Olympics with the rest of the guys and get over that finish line. That's not the point. The point is to win. And so this evening, I'm not going to be talking necessarily about salvation, but I am going to be talking about our rewards in God, our inheritance that we have in him. And if your point of view is just salvation and me getting to heaven, I want to say this. You're missing out in the bigger picture. You're missing out in the beauty of the glory of what Christ has for you. And I'm just reminded in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, do you not know that you're in this race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Did you read that? Run in a way to get the prize. Everybody's going to run. Everybody's going for the finish line. But run as if to win, to get the prize. Not everybody in the Olympics gets the same prize. Who gets the gold? The guy that comes first. Who gets the silver? The guy that comes second. Who gets the bronze? The guy who comes third or whatever. But the prize is what you're going for. Okay, the reward is the prize. And I just want to qualify something. We're not competing against each other. And so it's not me beating Bob or Nardis or Lauren. It's me running in the things that God has for me. It's me completing the race that Christ has set out for me. But I can't just do it in any pace. I don't know how long my life is. My life could end tomorrow, but the thing is, have I done everything that he's asked me to do? Can I honestly say, like Jesus, I only do what I see the Father do? Can I only get to the point that he did on the cross when I said, it is finished? I've completed everything. Honestly, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm trying. You know, I'm not trying in the flesh, but I am trying in the spirit to hear the Lord. But I want to say to us, are you trying in that sense? Not in the works, hear my heart. We're not saved by works, but we are saved unto good works. There's things, there's rewards awaiting for us. And so to run as if to win, would you agree with me? This is not just a case of leaving sin. It's a case of leaving the weights. And so I want to dive into this a little bit more as far as weights. And I want to pronounce this, and I always battle when it comes to Greek stuff. But the word is, when he talks about sin, which clings so closely, that word is euperistastos, something like that. Sounds good. But what that word carries, okay, I'm not a Greek scholar, so just go with the flow. If you are, you can go and Google it. It'll give you the proper pronunciation. But what I did pick up on this, hey, was it carries not just one thing. It carries three things, and I want to open that up for us because I believe we're all in some way in this when it comes to weights as we run this race. And the first part of that is it talks about easily surrounding, okay? It means it's a weight that we can carry that's easily surrounding, like something that is simply there, part of the environment, constantly present, okay? So there's that weight that's constantly around us, constantly present. Then there's another one which is called skillfully encircling, okay? Skillfully encircling you. So it's not just something in the general sense. It's something that's been strategically placed in your path. It's tailored to your weakness. And then there's another part of that which says it's cleverly entangled. It's like something that's woven into the fabric of who you are. You can't tell where this weight begins and you end. It's like a net over you, and you don't know which way to go. And this is what I'm wanting just to tackle for us to see, because I think in those three things, you might find yourself in one of those categories. Not so you can be condemned, but so you can ask the Lord. And that's what I'm praying for this evening, that we can respond to the Lord in ministry. That we can respond and say, God, this is the weight I've got. Please remove it. Please take it away. I recognize it in my heart. I recognize it's there. I want you to remove it. And that's what I'm praying for this evening. And I feel the Lord saying that, because I feel even as we gave that prophetic song, Lord, I give you my heart. Well, sometimes there's ministry needed that you can give him all your heart. It's not just word lip service or words we're singing. God say, okay, you sang that. Now let's do it. Let me show you how. Do you see that? That's why worship's great. But in fact, worship is theology. It's showing us how God is wanting to work in us, what he wants to do. And so I want to tackle the first thing, is that weight which is easily surrounding, okay? These weights, they're simply there. They're in the air we breathe. They're part of the culture that we're in. These weights, in the sense of those things that we don't need to do, but we do them, like entertainment. We can have binge watch. What's the latest? Says my son. What's that, one of the 70s, the 80s? I forgot those kids. The one you always watch. Okay. Anyway, I don't watch that much, just that you know. But could be anything. It's that binge watching. It's that scrolling through your Facebook. Well, I know the cooler kids now say it's not Facebook, it's Instagram and Pinterest and whatever. It's those things that waste your time. They do. I want to be hard here this evening. They do. They take our time. Guys, if we're running a race and you're running the race while you're doing the Olympics, like, come on. Those things can hold you back. And so excessive entertainment, constant scrolling, games, even hobbies can be something that holds you back. Ooh, are you going to have wives nudging their husbands? Hey, awkward, it's a good thing you're sitting there. But even our activities, you know, our jobs, they slow the pace. They drain our energy. This is the problem with that. If those things that you're doing stop you from the main thing that God has called you to, like gathering together, like fellowship, like church, like comms, like meeting in each other's homes, and you've got to do those things, and when you're tired and exhausted because you've been scrolling the whole day and I can't come to community, I want to say there's something wrong with you got weights. You've got weights. So that's the general thing. You know what the solution to that general thing is? Discipline. I don't think it's always, come and let's receive the Holy Spirit for this. I think just no. Just say no. Stop it. Stop it. That's all there is to it. No magic wand. No Holy Spirit intervention. Just stop it. Put in a discipline. That's what it means to die to self. Jesus did that work so you can stop it. All right. So that's just discipline. Even the world knows this. Okay, so that's the general sense. But then there's this skillfully encircling us weight. Now, this is not a general trap, okay? This is specifically targeted to you. This weight has your name on. It does. It really does. It's got your name on. In fact, James 1:14 says, each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. It's tailorly made for Paul or France or whoever. It's yours alone. And he knows the way you think. And so as your desire is there, it lures you because you have that desire. We all have certain bends. We've all got certain pulls. We've all got certain weaknesses, certain temptations, certain things that draw us away. And so this is tailored for you. It's not a random weight. And this is what we've got to know, church. This is what we've got to understand. Sometimes I think we look at the devil and we look at Satan and we look at demons and we think, well, they're just after everyone. Yeah, that is true in a sense, but they specifically target us in who we are. And Ephesians 6:11 says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, schemes are strategies, they're plans, they're thoughtful ways that the enemy wants to trip you up. And it's for you. It's not general, okay? And then in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, be careful that the devil doesn't outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes. So do you see, saying, understand that you've got to be aware. The enemy has schemes. He's witty. Means he strategizes. He plans to put a weight on you. And you can be that person who just takes it. Okay, so you're with me. There's the general sense. There's the specific sense. Maybe just in line with that. I think sometimes maybe my wife always says I don't qualify enough when I share a point. I put it in scripture, but I don't always qualify. I don't always ground it that we can take something of it. But I was just thinking, you know, sometimes you might be a person that suffers from just identity or always being overlooked, that thing of approval. And you might be a person that, let's say, comes to the word, comes to the front and gives a scripture, and it's like, nah, it's not for now. We're feeling, well, let's wait on the Lord. And that might be you. And so when that moment comes, it's like, oh, I'm not going to give a word again. Or it does come, and you bring it, and there's, wow, that word was really spot on. It was in line. It was everything. And it was like the spotlight's on you. It's like recognition. Either way, that can be both the enemy's strategy. Whether you heard or not heard, he's got a strategy, right? And so that thing can be the very thing that pulls you down. It can be a weight. Another practical example that I've seen in the life of the church, and I want to encourage men, because I used to be there. When I was full-time working at Petro SA, there was always that temptation, if I only give a little bit more to work, financially I get more out of it. I want to say that can be a weight. Guys, that can be a weight. And you know, I realized in my own life is I used to love working overtime. Well, I used to hate it actually, working overtime at Petro SA. But there were some months I loved it because I needed the money. But you know, in those moments, I wasn't trusting in the source. I was trusting in the Lord. And as I trusted in Petro SA, or the salaries that would come, and not the Lord, I would be actually exhausted from the weight. Because ask Lauren, there were times I worked 12 hours for long periods of time. And I did, and I was exhausted. But you know what I say? When I came to church, I couldn't give my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole me into this because I'm so exhausted. And I could have at times said no. I could have at times said, that's enough. That's the door shut. But I didn't. And I allowed that weight to come on me. And that weight was there because I didn't trust God for his provision. I want to say, be careful your work doesn't become a weight. Ask the Lord. Now, I'm not against working, please. Hear my heart. But I am against when work begins to overplay your spiritual life, when it begins to overtake that you've lost vision, that you've lost purpose, that you've lost love, the love for the Lord. It's a weight. It's a weight that God wants to remove. And I'm just reminded in Haggai 1 says, as you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your full. Your clothes, you clothe yourself, but not one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. I've had that. When I've worked those hours and those times. You know what? The tax man has cleaned me out in those things. There's been things that come out. There's all of a sudden all these expenses pop up. What is that? It's like Lord saying, you trusted in that. You trusted in that. You trusted in that. Look what it's done. And all it's done is left me empty. All it's done is left me tired of giving into the life of his church, of the people that he's entrusted me to. For what? I've lost it. I want to say, guys, God will do that. He'll even do it to you financially. Because he's saying, I want you to invest in things that I've called you to invest in. My church, my gospel. I want you to go out. I want you to do what I've called you to. Stop making it about your business. Stop making it about your work. And you know, I can honestly say when I came onto full-time, there was a big faith step from the salary I was getting then to the salary I was getting now, you know, as a full-time. But you know what? I trusted the Lord. I said, God, if you want me to do this, you're going to make a way. You're going to provide. I'm not going to put my trust in Petra SA. Really, I had to come to that point. You can even ask the elders. I remember at Cape Town, and they were handing out packages because Petra SA at that time was going to go down. And I thought, God's timing is perfect. I'm going to get this bonus. I'm going to be pay off my house, and I can now easily come onto full time. And they were handing out voluntary packages. And I thought, wow, let me hand him mine. You know, here's my voluntary desire to leave. And they looked at me and said, no, we need you. And I was like, but the company is going down. They're telling everyone, look, we're wanting guys to go. But now when I hand in the resignation, they say no. So eventually I said to Phil in Cape Town, saying, just give me a month. They're about to let me go. I don't think they're there yet, but they need to be strangled a bit more financially, and then they'll say yes. And then they volunteered a second group of people to do voluntary packages, and I gave it again. They said no. And then I wanted to phone Cape Town again and say, listen, give me one more month. And then Phil said, no, it's fine. And then the Lord said to me, no, it's not. And one of the qualifications for an elder is that they're not given to money. And the Lord said to me, it's the money or the church. I don't know if you played that game, money or the box. No, it's money or the church. It's my people. And if you take that, I can't entrust this to you. And I had to phone Cape Town. I'm trusting the Lord. And I want to say God did provide. In fact, I think we're better off now. And it's not, this is the thing. You can't quantify things with the Lord. It's not like the salary was much better. It's like things are a little bit low, but yet God's provision comes and he multiplies. I want to say, let God multiply, but it's going to take you letting go some things, a business, a job. Sometimes it's just saying, guys, I don't care what happens with the business. I'm going to do this because I feel the Lord's called me to do this. Do it. Do it in faith. This is where the faith element comes in. Now, this is not a general word. Please, hear my heart. But there might be some of you that the Lord is telling you to do that. Sure. Sorry, I'm off my notes a little bit. And so those are cleverly entangled things. Oh, sorry, that's the next one. So I've given you the two, huh? So the third one is cleverly entangled. Now this is woven into your life. Sorry, I just want to get it. Skillfully encircled and cleverly entangled. This is woven into your life, your way of thinking, your patterns, your culture of way you're doing things. This is something a little bit more entwined into your life. It's not just kind of comes into your life and you kind of justify why you're doing this thing. It reprioritizes your values. I want to say that might be some of you sitting here. There might be things that you've reprioritized in your life. It's so in you, and it's you'll justify it. It makes sense. You'll even use scripture to justify it. I want to say, be careful. I can use scripture to do many things, but it's what the Lord asking me to do that counts. It's an act of obedience. This thing of faith is an act of obedience. And I want to say, are you justifying things that are holding you down in this race? And I really felt my heart strongly. Those that thought they survived last year, God's going to say, you can't do it this year. If you were just making it, I want to say that there's almost like sometimes God draws a line. You're in or you're out. And I know it's a heavy thing. I don't want people to do that. I don't want anybody to leave this church. But I feel there's coming points where God's going to bring that to some of us. And say, you need to let go of that weight. And it's not because God wants to shun you or the church wants to shun you. It's because the weight that you're carrying will not go with you in the next season. Because where God wants to take you is far deeper, higher, wider in Him. And you're going to be exhausted. You'll actually die physically in that sense, if that's you. I want to say, take a heed to that. Take a warning to that, because there is so much more. I'm not pointing you to the negative, but I do want you to see something here, is that there is an element of saying, God, I cannot go on, but I need to trust you now. Show me where to let go this weight. And I want to say, this thing isn't always clear. It's not always a black and white. It's like, it's this or that. I think with some of us, it's like, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for this weight. How to remove it. Let Him show you how to remove it. Because I don't believe it's going to be through ministry, us praying for you. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit wants to show those weights. That He wants to bring it out to the light. He wants to reveal it. That He can take it from us. And like I said, it's kind of woven into us. It's like, it's hard to identify this thing. Because it looks good. It looks right. But I want to say it's not. If you're not running the way God has called you to run, and you feel like, yo, everything's just overwhelming, I want to say that weight's on you. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The problem with you probably carrying your own weight. It's not the one Jesus has given you. But here's the thing. I really feel tonight that God wants to come as a skillful surgeon tonight. Because as much as entwined as that thing might be, and you can't separate, I feel God wants to come and do heart surgery. He wants to cut that thing. It's like cut it off. It's a weight that's become so entwined into you. You can't see it. You can't recognize it. You can't pinpoint it, but it's there. How do you know? Because you're exhausted. You're tired. You can't run like you used to. You started off well as Galatians. You ran the race, but who bewitched you? Who took you off course? Who made you feel exhausted? You were running. You started to run in the flesh. And that's where I feel the Lord wants to come. He wants to be a surgeon this evening and to cut through His Spirit. You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 4:12. Have you got that one, Orchid? I'll give you that one. Oh, there. For the Word of God is alive and active. Do you believe that? It's not just the Bible you're reading. The Word of God is alive. And He's speaking to us. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Do you see that? We are going to give an account to how we've run. Do you see that? There's such an urgency. And God's saying, you've got no excuse. I've given you the Spirit. I've given you my Word. I want to do it. I want to dissect. And it's so sharp, I will discern. But it's a heart that's willing. Stop going back to the old and saying, I can't. This is me. This is who I am. Stop it. Really, I really feel that, guys. I feel God wants to take so much more. He's got so much more for us. But we got to do this. Man, if you're finding church too much, communities too much, I want to say, that's just the beginning. What about your relationships? What about your ability to disciple people in this church? Have them in your homes. Can I say, that's the minimum. Jesus told us, go and make disciples. It's a simple word. But being a disciple means opening your homes, means opening your hearts, means sharing truth, allowing them to share truth into you. And creating a space to be discipled. Disciple isn't just coming and bringing a word and giving a teaching like I am tonight. It's coming and speaking into each other's lives. It's holding each other account. Jesus says, teach them to obey. Not just teach them. Sometimes we stop there and we say, I've taught you. That's enough. You know what? It isn't. You know what? It's enough. When you get that person through that obstacle. When you take them through that, Jesus removes that weight. Then you've done it. Then you've discipled. It doesn't start by just teaching. The churches, George, is full of teaching centers. It is full of teachers. Paul even says there are thousands and thousands of instructors and teachers, but there's little fathers. I know I'm sounding angry and sorry, but I feel the heart of God.
We need fathers, guys. John, we need fathers. Not just, we need fathers. Paul, we need fathers. Thea, we need fathers. We need guys. John, you're a father. I want to say you are a father. Well, good, you're a father. Start discipling his church. Guys, start discipling the church. I'm tired of teaching. I'm tired of sitting up here and preaching. This is what we should know about the Lord. This is how we should love the Lord. I want to say, go and do it. God's going to change this church. He's going to move us to a place we've never been before, but he's going to use the people that are obedient and submitted to him. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get God remove these weights from us tonight. I want them. I just started and said, I haven't come near there. I'm wanting a church. I'm wanting to be a better father to you guys. But Jesus is our chief shepherd. He's our father. And I've got to look to him. If Jesus had to look to the Father, I have to look to the Father. You have to look to the Father. And let him work in us. Let him change us. Let us reform. Let's be more like Jesus. So I want to